If you're in business, you probably have a website, but can your site handle your growth? How many visitors before your site slows down or crashes? What about storage and data security? From web hosting to virtual servers, Pear Networks provides the online infrastructure you need to start, grow, and flourish. When it comes to security and updates, don't worry, we've got you covered. Our 24/7 US-based customer support is the best in the industry. No frustrating chatbots or sitting on hold for hours. Check out pear.com today to learn more. That's PAIR.com.
The advice and opinions expressed by the host of Autism Live and her guests are meant solely as suggestion and should not be in any way construed as child-specific advice. Any choices you make in determining your child's treatment are completely at your own discretion.
Good morning and welcome to Autism Live. We're so excited to have you here during April. April is the A month, right? Awareness, action, acceptance, all the words that we want to have paired with autism. We're so excited to be here with you. And we've got two amazing guests that are going to be joining us in just a little while. Two gentlemen from Florida who identify as being on the spectrum. We'll ask them specifically about what words they like to use. But they are taking a unique look at how to support individuals on the spectrum, and they've got a great deal to say about that, and we're really excited that we have the opportunity to hear from them today and talk with us. But before we do that, we want to let you know that you can interact with this show. A lot of these shows we pre-taped so that we could let you all know about them, but you can be interacting with the show right now with the audience and with some of us and staff as this airs. You can write in questions. We're premiering the show right now, so people are seeing it for the first time. So our fabulous Chris Desmond is going to show you some of the different ways that you can be watching the show, some of the different ways that you can be interacting. I always like to remind you that we're live on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. The show will later on be available on our YouTube channel. And it will podcast. Wherever you get your podcasts, you can download the free podcast. Do keep in mind that while it is free to you, it is not free in the world. It does come with a cost, and we defray that cost by having sponsors and by having ads that will run during the podcast. We hope that you embrace that and embrace those sponsors and are as grateful as we are for sponsors and advertisers to do that so that we don't have to ask you for money. Now, I will say that some of you have written in over the years and said, hey, I listen to you in podcasts and I like to take it in the car and I don't like to have it gummed up with ads. I prefer to just get the content because I have a limited time in the car and I want to make sure that I get that. We get that. So we do have a way that if you'd like to pay a small monthly fee, you can get not only this podcast, but also Ask Dr. Doreen for one low price. It's $5 a month at glow.fm/autismlive. glow.fm/autismlive. It's $5 a month. Actually, if you pay for it for the year, it's less because they charge us every time they run your credit card. And if we don't have to run your credit card every month, then we're not trying to soak you. You know what I'm saying? We're trying to help you to get to the information that you need the way you want it, so you actually get it at a discount. So I hope if that's your thing, that you will take advantage and go to glow.fm/autismlive. What else do I want to say? Amazing guests that we have joining us in just a little while. But before we get to that, I want to take a minute. We do jargon of the day on a regular basis. And today we have a jargon term that I think, I don't know whether I want to say it's still greatly misunderstood, but I think it's a phrase that gets batted around, and I thought it was worthwhile for us to take a couple of minutes and go, what are we really talking about here? The phrase that I'm talking about is sensory processing. What does that mean? So let's take a look. First, we're going to give you an actual definition. Often, I will make fun of the actual definitions. I'm not making so much fun of this one. But then we try to pare it down and give it to you in a less jargony way and maybe give you an example to go with it. So our actual definition for sensory processing is the brain's ability to take in raw sensory input from the environment and create meaning from it. Now, I will make a little bit of fun of this definition that, you know, when you use the same words in the definition that were in the word that you were trying to define, I have to make fun of you a little bit. So if you don't know what sensory processing is, sensory input, yeah, okay. But I do like this definition, and it's this idea that there's stuff coming at you and that how you process it is going to give meaning to the environment. I kind of like that. I like the way that sounds. But let's move on to our working definition and see if we can't hone this puppy down. So working definition for sensory processing is the unique way in which each person experiences their five senses and enjoys or copes with that experience. And I like to think of it almost like a fingerprint, that we are each of us that level of unique, and what we like and what we can handle and what we can cope with, vastly different. And I find that whenever I'm talking, you know, obviously when you're talking to folks who are on the spectrum, boy, they get this. They entirely get this. And one of the many, many things that I love about folks on the spectrum is that they know themselves. And they know what kinds of things they react to, and they know what kinds of things that they like. I find that people who aren't on the spectrum are a little bit slower to come to that knowledge for themselves, which maybe hampers their ability to notice that in other people. Like, maybe that's a deficit of being neurotypical. But I know it took me years for myself to acknowledge and recognize that when I am in a room where there is sound behind me, I have a harder time hearing what's in front of me. Makes no sense on paper, right? Because our ears are pointed in a way that it's supposed to shield us a little bit from noise behind us so that we can hear noise going this way. I don't know whether my ears are just bent different, but if somebody is sitting and talking behind me, I literally can't hear the person in front of me. And it makes me crabby, and it makes me kind of nuts. And, you know, as a student, it made it very hard for me to sit in the front row. I would always sit in the back row so people wouldn't be talking behind me. Right? But I didn't realize that's why I was doing it. Now I know, you know, and I try not to sit in front of somebody who's Chatty Cathy behind me, you know. And my husband knows if we're going to the movie theater, I want to sit in the back row because I don't want somebody unwrapping a cough drop behind me. I won't be able to hear the movie. But it took me probably 40 years to understand that's what my sensory processing was for hearing spatially. Whereas I talk to my friends who are on the spectrum, and they know, and they can identify and say, I have a problem with this. And I will say that's not everybody, because not everybody has the ability to communicate. It's one of the reasons why it's so important that we give functional communication to everybody so that they can communicate. Here's the other part of this, though, is that if we do know, why wouldn't we help to mitigate that for people? I love Dr. Stephen Shore. And he's been a guest on the show many times before. He's a wonderful professional, a college professor, and a great teacher. And when he started on the spectrum, and when he started to teach, he said to his employer, and this was, I mean, you know, back in the day. This was, I don't want to date him on his behalf, but let's say it certainly was not in this century. I don't know whether it was 70s or when, but at the time, it wasn't considered socially acceptable to be a teacher and wear a baseball hat. And he went to his employer at Adelphi University, and he said, I'm so thrilled to be here working here, but I'm going to need to wear a baseball hat, or we're going to have to change the lighting. But it's much cheaper for me if we wear a baseball hat, because lighting from above would disrupt his thinking process. And especially, I believe, if I'm not quoting him wrong, fluorescent lighting from above. So right now, I have tons of light from above me in the studio. If Dr. Shore with me, he could still do the show, but he would need the bill of his baseball cap to shield him from that. That's what he had discovered as a young professional the modification that allowed him to take that sensory input and dial it down. Not that it's gone completely, but dial it down to a place where he could function. And lovely that Adelphi University said, oh, no, that's fine. That's totally fine. We'd rather you wear a baseball hat than change the lighting. So, you know, he teaches in a baseball hat and has for decades. Because that modification allowed him to be able to do that. So think about yourself and think about what your sensory levels are. What noise do you love? What sound calms you? Like, what smell can help you? We all got all into the oils and the diffusers for a while, and my one friend gave me this one oil that's crazy that when I do it, I focus so much better. I don't know what it is about it, but that smell, if I know I got to get a lot of work done, I pop that in the diffuser because I can get more done. I can't explain it to you, but I know that that works for me. So start with yourself and ask yourself, what are the sensory things that you love and that are productive, and what are the sensory things that make it harder for you to be you, that make it harder for you to accomplish things? Some people do better if they have classical music playing in the background. Some people can't handle that. It takes their focus, and they can't do it. I have found in the last couple of years that classical music helps me. But it's got to be certain classical music. It can't be certain things. I go to the pottery studio, and they have classical music playing. And some days of the week when they have certain things playing, I can make beautiful. I don't have one of them here with me today. But I can make beautiful cups. But when they play opera, I can't make anything. Okay, now let's go to the working definition. Let's take a look and see sensory processing, the unique way in which each person experiences their five senses and enjoys or copes with that experience. I love looking at this like it's a fingerprint, that it's unique, that each one of us has a very special and individual way in which we take in information through our senses and the way that we process that. So stop and think about that, because each one of us is so different. And here's something that I've noticed, that for my friends who identify as being the autism spectrum, it seems like to me, especially for the adults, that they are very in tune with themselves and how they process things sensory. They know what they like they know what they love, right? And they know what makes it difficult for them. Now, for those of us who identify as being neurotypical, I don't want to speak for everyone, but for a lot of us, it seems like it takes a lot longer before we key into, oh, that's me, and that's the way I process things. I will say for myself, it took me more than 40 years to realize that when noise is happening behind me, it literally makes it harder for me to hear noise in front of me. It's the strangest thing, right? Anatomically, it shouldn't make sense, right? Because our ears are supposed to shield us from noise that's happening from behind us. But if I found myself always sitting in the last row of the classroom, because if somebody was talking behind me, I couldn't hear the teacher. And I didn't really understand that that's what was happening. But believe me, I understand it now. Because what it does, when somebody's making noise behind me, it makes me very crabby. Because I can't hear what's happening. My husband knows, we go to the movie theater, I'm going to want to sit in the back row so that somebody isn't unrolling a cough drop. Because I can't hear the movie while they're doing that behind me. But we all have these things. We have things, smells and sounds and, things that we love, the touch of them. Some people love those mermaid pillows they're sequins and you push them one way and it makes one color, and you push it the other way and it makes another color. Other people don't like the feel of it. There are things that my son is particular about. I love to take him shopping when we're shopping for shirts and stuff, because I'll find a shirt and I like the colors of it. He goes up and touches it. He goes, no, scratchy, right? Because he doesn't like anything that's scratchy. I don't like anything that makes me feel hot, right? We have unique ways that we are taking information in. So if we start with ourselves and say, okay, just make a list for yourself. What do I love? What are the sounds and the smells that just transport me and make it easier? Are you somebody that having music playing in the background helps you to focus, or does it totally destroy your focus? For me, I find it depends. That I've discovered that some classical music can really help me to focus and get tuned into something, and other stuff, not so good. I go to the pottery studio and they play classical music, and depending on the day of the week, the channel plays different kinds of classical music. And some classical music, it's just easier to make a pot grow, right? And for me to make a mug that's reasonable, that people can drink out of. But on Saturday mornings, they play opera. I can't make anything. It took me weeks. I was like, why on Saturday mornings everything falls apart? And then I realized, oh, it's the opera. I can't focus. When the soprano is shrieking, so now I wear headphones to help me to be able to focus on the thing that I need to be able to do, because the sensory thing is getting in my way. Start with yourself and get real with yourself as a human being about what do I need to be successful sensory-wise? What do I like? What do I enjoy? What hinders me? And how can I circumvent that? I love to tell the story of Dr. Stephen Shore, who I just so adore, a wonderful working professional, a college professor, been teaching for many, many, many years. He's been on the show many times. He identifies as being on the autism spectrum. And when he started teaching, it was at a time when it was not socially acceptable to wear a baseball hat to teach in. You just wouldn't have done that. But he went to his employer and he said, hey, I am on the spectrum. You've got me in a room teaching where there's lights above me. I can't do that. We either need to change the lighting or I need to be able to wear a baseball hat. Thank goodness Adelphi University said wear the baseball hat. Because that worked as a shield and allowed him to dial down that sensory input coming from the lights above him so that he could focus and teach. It literally made it possible for him to be him and do what he wanted to do. Whereas if he took that away, he was having to focus on the lights. So sensory processing is nothing to sneeze at. This is important stuff. And if we start with ourselves and think, what do I like? What do I need? Then if we take the humane approach of understanding and respecting the people that I love on the spectrum, there's a potential that what they're experiencing is greatly magnified than what I'm experiencing. That's a distinct possibility. That, you know, for me, I'm aware of the lights above me, but it's not preventing me from focusing. But for Dr. Shore, it would. We are different. And I can be sensitive to his needs and not go, it's fine for me. Like, that's a really bullish way to be. Right? It's very ableist. I can handle it. Right? We wouldn't say that about anything else. If we're in the boxing ring and somebody punches me, I'm going to hurt because I'm not used to being punched. Whereas if I'm in there with a boxer, they're like, that doesn't hurt that bad. But the boxer would never be like, what a wimp you are, Shannon, that you can't take that. We know we have different levels of what we can take. So if we begin to think compassionately about this and use perspective taking, we can be better allies. I think back to a dinner that I went to a few years ago with the fabulous Amy Gravino, one of our star guests on the show. I just so love Amy. She's a young woman, identifies as being on the spectrum, loves to talk with people about what that experience is, loves to be, works as a coach to help with sexuality for individuals on the spectrum. She's just so down to earth and open and honest. She's just a lovely human being to be around. She gets excited about wonderful things that I love talking with her about. But I have lots of social anxiety, and I went to this one dinner and there was a lot of people and I was like, oh, it's, you know, big important people. And Amy walked in and I was like, oh, Amy, I'm so glad to see you. Somebody I can just be myself with. And it was so funny because Amy sat with me and she's like, I got you, Shannon. It's okay. I know these things are hard for you. She was automatically in tune with the fact that I have a hard time at social things. My best friend forgets, right? But Amy was really sensitive to that. We went to a cocktail party the next night, and at one point I sought her out, and somebody said something, and Amy said, you know what's interesting is that I like to hang with Shannon to help her through these kinds of events, but that's what's happening. I'm the person on the spectrum helping her through social things because she's the one that needs it. And I was noticing that of all the people that were there, Amy was the one who was most in tune to the fact that I needed some support to get through it, that I was not comfortable. You know what I mean? I think that we that are not on the spectrum can get better at this. I think that we can be better allies to the people that we love on the spectrum if we stop and consider that, you know, it's that thing about what number is it turned up to for me and what number is it turned up for you. The music is playing. It's at a 5, but for me, a 5 is totally fine. But for another person, that might feel like an 11. And if we can get to that level of compassion and understanding how unique sensory processing is, I think we can do a lot of great things in this world. Because the sensory thing, it can be a lot. Okay, so we're going to take a short break, and then we're going to be back with our guests. We've got two amazing gentlemen from an organization called Hurdles. They're going to tell us why it's called Hurdles, what they're seeking to do, and how they're helping people to get to the things that they want to do. So don't go away. Take a look at this.
Hey, everybody. I'm so glad you're here joining us during April Autism Awareness Month. We're calling it Autism Awareness, Autism Appreciation, Autism Acceptance, and Autism Action, all of those. We're so excited to bring wonderful shows. In the second week of April, our guests are Sarah Bradford from the S.J. Childs Show. She's going to be talking with us about the International Autism Summit. We can't wait for that. On Tuesday, it's Dr. Doreen Grampuchet for Ask Dr. Doreen, and her topic this week is bedtime challenges. Can't wait for that. On Wednesday, Amanda Ralston from Nonbinary Solutions will be talking with us. That should be fun. And on Thursday, the folks from Hurdle, these are two gentlemen from Florida who are making a huge difference for folks on the spectrum. They'll be joining us. And on Friday, it's Katie Gibney, a wonderful expert in treating adults on the autism spectrum and keeping their wishes, hopes, and dreams for the future at the forefront of that treatment. It's going to be a great week. If you miss any of the shows, don't forget to catch them in podcast. Tune into all of our social media channels to know what's happening when. We have the full calendar for the entire month, so check it out.
Welcome back. We are so lucky and excited to welcome our two guests that are with us right now. We have with us Shane Campfield and Ed Kocher, and I'm not sure that I'm saying that right, Ed, so you correct me if I'm not. These are two amazing gentlemen who are really trying to move the dial in helping to support individuals that are on the autism spectrum. They are out doing motivational speaking, helping to bring resources to people, and of course, they have a new show that is out on their YouTube channel. We're going to be talking about that with all of them, all of that, as well as their history and why this community is important to them. But first of all, gentlemen, welcome to Autism Live.
Thank you so much for having us. It's a pleasure.
Thrilled to have you here. So I think it's best to kind of start by talking with how you guys identify yourselves. We know that you're self-advocates, but what words do you like to use when referring to yourself and autism? And at what point did autism, did you realize was a part of your life?
Well, for me, I would say just on the spectrum and just autistic, I really embraced it about maybe 10 or so years ago. I always knew that I was different, but, you know, just really, you know, coming to terms with that and just, you know, really accepting that it's a part of who I am, you know, I just really, you know, I'm proud to say I'm autistic.
Yay.
And how old were you when you were diagnosed, Shane, if you don't mind my asking?
I was about 5 or 6. I know it was around 2001, 2002, that time frame. I think that was right before autism had the big boom. So there wasn't really too much, available to me at that point. And so my parents, were trying to get the best support they could for me, and they couldn't really get that going until about maybe 5 or 6 years after that.
Okay.
All right. And Ed, how about for you?
I'm 5 years old. When I was younger, we didn't know what autism was.
Yeah.
I was actually diagnosed, I believe, in 2007 or 2008. But I've always known I had something special about me. And I never let it stop me. I became a casino dealer, a professional wrestler. I worked for the government. I've done a lot in my life. I'm very proud of what I'm doing right now, basically being a motivational speaker for those with autism, giving them someone to look up to, and also helping Shane grow to become the great man he is and have him further his venture to becoming a motivational speaker.
Wonderful. Well, your volume is still a little bit low. I'm not sure if we can adjust that, but I'm curious as to how you guys met. Like, you guys are business partners now, but how did that come about?
And his actual friend is actually through the organization called UCF CARD, Center for Autism and Related Disabilities in the Orlando area. And a lot of us are a part of the same program. And just, one friend recommended me to become friends with Ed here. And then, we ended up. And then, ever since, we became close. And we finally decided, one day, let's, get our stories out there because we both have similar backgrounds and situations. And then, we're like, you know what? Let's do it, and here we are.
I love that.
We have to do a little programming note for the people who watch the show regularly. They know that we're affiliated with a different card. Just to make that clear to everyone, we're affiliated with the Center for Autism and Related Disorders, which is often confused with the card that you're talking about, which is the Center for Autism and Related. Help me. It's not disorders. What's the last one?
Disabilities.
Disabilities. There we go. So you're talking about the one that's in Florida, and ours is based in California, but in different places as well. Both wonderful organizations, but very, very different. Just wanted to make that clear to everybody. But wonderful that that's how you guys met and you made this decision that you were going to go out and do motivational speaking. At what point did you guys decide, hey, wait a second, let's do a show, let's have our own channel on YouTube, let's do a show? Because I highly recommend it. It's a great thing to do. But what made you decide to do that?
Well, the company's been going for approximately 12 to 13 months now. Halfway through, I saw a video online and said, wait a second, we can do that and we can make it so we can reach thousands upon thousands of people.
Yeah.
And that's how we got started. I got started with a friend of mine who is a professional wrestler but whose son is autistic. And then it just kept going to other people with autism. And we're just rolling with it.
Amazing. Now, the name of the company is Hurdles, correct?
Hurdle.
Yes.
Yep, just hurdle.
Just hurdle, one hurdle. But which is a
Yes.
very powerful word that I often said, because I don't know if you guys know, I'm not on the spectrum myself, but I refer to myself as a pony, that I'm a parent of a neurodiverse individual. And I always said as a parent that my son is just fabulous. He is just wonderful. But that I feel like all people in their lives, it's like we're all on a track and we're running in different directions and we all have hurdles, and that my son had some extra hurdles that I wanted to make sure he had support to go under them, around them, whatever. So hurdle's a pretty powerful word in our household. But I understand that not only is it that kind of a hurdle, but it also is an acronym. Tell us what it stands for.
HURDLE is an acronym that we made up almost immediately, just came to our head. It stands for hard work, understanding,
Oh, realization. I'm sorry.
Determination, leadership, and education.
Great words.
Those are the steps that you, if you can conquer them, you can jump over any hurdles and clear any mountains.
And I love that kind of attitude. We certainly need more of that attitude. So what is the show called? If that's what the company is called, is Hurdle, what is the show called?
It is called Spectrum of Hurdles. So the goal for the show is to interview, you know, different people who have, you know, any hurdles in life. Because, you know, like what you said, who doesn't?
Right.
Neurotypicals, cerebral palsy, physical disabilities, you know, mental disabilities, you name it. And so, you know, all of that, we see it as a spectrum, you know, which is kind of interesting because, you know, both of us having autism and that's a spectrum itself. So we thought it would be appropriate, you know, to call that, you know, spectrum of hurdles and just, you know, interviewing those who, you know, have, you know, struggles in their life and really having them, you know, step forward, coming out of their comfort zone and sharing, you know, their stories like what we do for other people. And hopefully, you know, that'll make the world a better place.
And even though this show has just started, you've got many shows already and you've been able to interview a lot of really fascinating people. You got to interview Danny Bowman, which, I love Danny. I consider Danny a good friend. And people can go to your YouTube channel and check that out. Who else have you had an opportunity to interview?
We have an opportunity to interview professional wrestler Simon Says. We had a chance to interview a gentleman who opened a autism-friendly gym. And he's autistic himself, and he actually is an entrepreneur trying to give back to the autism community.
Wonderful.
We've interviewed a young lady who Shane is employed by right now, who runs a school for autism. Who else, Shane?
We also interviewed a delegation expert who also has autism. I've known him for a couple of years, and you know he's out there in the world, you know, getting involved with delegations and you know advocacy, you know, for everybody. And it's really quite fascinating. We've also had Danny Bowman, and the last one we did was a cosplayer living in Salt Lake City, Utah. And that was pretty fascinating.
What?
And we also interviewed a gentleman who runs a fishing company for people with autism.
Fantastic. And I've heard that you kind of have a way with celebrities, Shane. This is what I heard, is that you know some celebrities.
I do, yes.
Talk a little bit about that. What does that mean, that you have a way with celebrities?
I wouldn't say I have a way with them. It's more of like I make it a hobby to meet them and, you know, get signatures and take pictures.
Amazing.
The story behind that is when I was younger, my father taught me, you know, well, this is how you meet, you know, a famous person. Like, you go wait at, you know, back of a venue, you know. And so I tried that. And, you know, I've kind of stuck with that throughout the years. And then finally, you know, when I became more independent, I came out of my comfort zone and I started to do that. And then, you know, ever since then, you know, I love it. Like, sometimes the interaction is, you know, very quick. Yeah. So, you know, you don't really get to take much out of the moment. But, you know, I still take it as a positive experience. And, you know, I think it's a blessing to have that one-on-one interaction with someone that you really relate to.
So, of all the celebrities that you've met, who's been, like, the biggest deal to you for you to meet?
Like, the biggest name or personal?
Just a big deal to you, because sometimes it's not the biggest name that's a big deal. Like, who personally was it just a big deal for you to meet?
Oh, wow. That's a really good question. I would say it's a toss-up between Justin Timberlake or Neve Campbell, the actress.
Wow.
Neve Campbell.
both good choices. And I'm sure, you know, sometimes celebrities in a rush, but I feel like both of them are really sweet people. Did they take a minute to be with you when you met them?
They did, yes. And fortunately, it was a bonus that I met Justin, like, the day after my birthday. So to have him say, well, you know, happy birthday, nice. I'm like, what?
Nice. And so who's, like, the biggest celebrity that's on your bucket list right now? Somebody that you, like, if you met them, we would all need to know about it because it would be such a big deal.
Oh, that is an easy one. Yeah. I would say Lady Gaga.
Okay. See, for me, that's Oprah. If I ever get to meet Oprah, everybody will know about it because I'm dying to meet Oprah. Now, Ed, are you starstruck? Is there anybody you really want to meet?
I am. I was a casino dealer in the biggest casino in the world, and I had the honor of one day dealing $50,000 hand black check to Michael Jordan.
Wow.
So I have met quite a few, and I was also a professional wrestler, so I've met a lot of men doing that as well. Right now, my bucket list, that's really hard to say. I know this is going to sound silly, but it's very similar to your bucket list, but Dr. Phil. I watch a lot of his things and to get inspiration about things in life, and I would love to meet him one day. I don't get to go out as much to meet celebrities, and but I am so proud of what Shane has done just to have the courage to go out and meet all these people, and I've always said that he's an inspiration to me.
Yeah. And I wanted to give you guys an opportunity to talk about, because to the world, you guys look like two amazing guys doing this amazing thing. And yet you guys have both met with some tragedy in your lives that you have backgrounds that you have given you, you know what they say, you don't get a testimony without a test. And you guys have been through some pretty incredible tests where you had to overcome hurdles yourself. And I don't know what you want to share, but is there, you know, would you be willing to share some of the hurdles that you've overcome?
Absolutely. I lost both my parents, not quite as young as Shane, but I lost both my parents in my earlier days. I lived under a bridge for 2 years in Seattle, Washington. I was homeless.
Wow.
I've recently, last 3 years, had six strokes. I'm wheelchair bound now. But I'll never ever let that define who I am. I will always keep pushing forward just to get my word out to anybody who can overcome any hurdle just by going forward. I'm doing this for two reasons. One, to the autism community. And secondly, to help Shane out because he's much younger than me. And when I go, I want him to keep pushing the company to give up the community. So I'm, like I said, I'm so proud of him, I'm so proud of our company, and so proud of both the hurdles that we both overcome.
It's amazing. It's very inspirational to hear you say, you know, you're not giving up. It's that's really inspirational, Ed. And Shane, you've been through some stuff too.
Yes. Unfortunately, you know, the cards I was dealt in life has not been the greatest. So my mother, passed away when I was 11, and then my father, passed away when I was 14. So I had to really learn what it was like to be independent earlier on. A family friend did take me in until I graduated high school. And then after that, you know, when I turned 18, I was pretty much on my own, but still, you know, dealing with that such an early age, I think it shaped me, and I'm proud of who I became, but to deal with that at such an early age, you know, it's still a shock.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I don't know how it is for other people, but just imagine, you know, losing parents, you know, really young and not really having that nurturing light, you know, to guide you throughout.
Yeah. And forgive me for asking this, it might be too personal, but When your father passed, was it a sudden thing, or was it something? Did you know when he passed away where you were going to go live and who was going to take care of you?
That's kind of a mixed answer.
Okay.
So he was sick for a long time, and I didn't really know that it would come up that fast,
yeah.
But unfortunately it did, and then he went to hospice, and then my whole family knew, you know, like my aunts, uncles, they all flew down from New York to be with me during that time, and then they knew, you know, it was coming, and then they had to really prepare to what was going to happen to me, if they were going to take me in, or if I was going to go to the state, you know, for guardianship,
yeah.
And it was looking more towards the state for guardianship after he passed away, but then out of nowhere, and this really is a blessing, and I'm really thankful to have had this, a family friend who, ironically enough, I knew from UCF Card, they also had a son who has autism, I'm sorry, they stepped up and they were like, you know what, no, don't worry about a thing, we can take you in,
yeah.
We'll take care of you, you know, just know that you're going to be with the love.
What a gift. But I feel for you, Shane, that not only were you probably were still grieving your mom, now you're grieving your dad, but also
mm-hmm.
having to worry about where you're going to be. And I hope that for all of us listening who are parents and want to be good allies, that we work really hard, because what a horrible hardship for you. And you were 14 years old and having to worry about where you were going to go. I'm so sorry that all of it happened for you. Amazing that you had this wonderful person who said, don't worry about it. You're coming with us. You'll be loved and taken care of. And that you've come through it just fine. I'm sure your parents would be very proud of both of you.
Yes, absolutely. And what I have learned, and I hope, you know, that my message gets across here. My parents always said, well, what would happen when, you know, they're both gone? Like, what would I do? And, you know, unfortunately, that came sooner than later.
Yeah.
And, you know, having to really, you know, live through that, you know, like, sooner than later, you know, is a real shock.
Yeah.
So I never take for granted anything. And, you know, I really try to enjoy, you know, what I can, you know, with who I have in my life, who are loving and supporting, because you never know. Know what would happen tomorrow.
Absolutely. And so if we can shift gears just a little bit and talk about, you know, because you overcame these obstacles, these hurdles, and have gone on to create this amazing entity. You do, if people ask you, if people invite you, you go to events and speak there, both of you, correct?
Correct.
How would people request that? If somebody wants to have you come and speak, here we are, it's April, and they're looking for inspirational speakers, how would they get a hold of you? How would they request that?
Yeah, they can reach us on the internet through Hurdle's Facebook page, or they can call us directly, and Shane has an email, business email directly for us.
Okay.
If Shane can give us.
So that's definitely one thing that you guys can do if you're watching and you're thinking, these are two inspirational men. We'd love to have them come speak at our organization. That's one thing that you can do. But also, we want to make sure that people know about your program, your show, your YouTube channel, where they can be tuning in and not only learning about you, but the people that you interview. So where do they go to do that, Shane?
So you will go to the Hurdle YouTube channel. So everything is connected on our link tree. Either go to the link, Hurdle, I think we're going to be sending you that.
Yes, and
but,
we'll put it in the notes.
It's also on the Facebook page, connected directly. So just go click on that, and then, you know, check out all our videos that we have, and there's going to be loads more to come. And we were actually going to try to be starting in the summer tutorial videos, you know,
nice.
Like for those who can't really, you know, do certain things, like maybe grocery shopping and, you know, just learning and maybe file your taxes, but that's in the works.
I love
that's
that.
Our next video.
I love that. What a wonderful thing. Well, really remarkable. You guys are amazing. If there was one message that you want to send to other people who are on the spectrum, I have a feeling I know what you're going to say, because it's part of your logo. But what one message would you want to send to other people on the spectrum?
The one message I would love to send is that it is part of our logo. You are correct. The R in realization. I've always been taught that we want to be just like everybody else, but that's no longer the case. If we get treated like everybody else, we're going to really struggle. We're going to be overwhelmed. So the realization is always be willing to ask for help. No one is perfect. In being on the spectrum, we need a little more help than others. Have the power, have the courage to go out there, ask for the help you need, and then work on making yourself a much better person. And that will help you be an advocate to anybody else.
Amazing. Shane, same thing for you or something slightly different?
Something slightly different. I would say, you know, if you want to do something, go ahead and try to do it. Do not be afraid to fail. We all succeed. We all fail. And do not be afraid to come out of your comfort zone. I mean, before me and Ed started Hurdle, you know, we were in the same position. You know, like, we were very confused and were kind of hesitant to, you know, really step out and do what we wanted to do because of, you know, failing or what might, you know, be on the road ahead of us. But we didn't let that stop us, and here we are today.
Yeah, absolutely amazing. And then I guess the other side of that is for those of us who are parents and loved ones who every day, you know, we say we want to be good allies. Sometimes we don't get that right. I have to be humble some days and say, you know, if you ask me what do I want more than anything else in the world on a daily basis, I want to be a good ally to my son and other people on the spectrum. But I cannot say that I always get it right. I'm always looking for good advice. What advice do you have for loved ones to be good allies?
Patience. Absolute patience.
Yes.
Yeah.
To be a good ally, I think you have to know the shoes that the person you're being allies with is walking in. We are all able to do whatever we want in life. It may take a little help. I mean, we may take a little time. But what we need are the people around us to understand that it may take us a little longer. But we're going to try as hard, if not harder, than anyone else to get what we need done. So if you will be patient with us, you will see magical things happen from us.
Amazing. Shane? Same thing?
I agree. The biggest thing is patience.
Yeah.
Yes. Because we are all on, you know, different levels. You know how the saying goes, if you met one person with autism, then you met one, not all.
Yes. Yes. We love that quote from Dr. Stephen Shore. Is he somebody you're going to have on your show at some point?
Oh, that would be amazing. Hopefully one day in the future. So you guys need to stay tuned for that one.
Absolutely. The other person I was thinking about that would be great for your show, not that you need suggestions, but if you've ever met Amy Gravino, Amy is such a hoot. And Amy says, we don't need allies, we need accomplices. She's like, I don't want you to come and say, oh, I'm so sorry you've been locked in jail. She said, I want you to help me get out.
Yeah, so, I love that.
I always think of that.
Right.
She'd be great on your show.
There is one person I would love to meet also, but just for something like that, for an inspiration to other people. And that's Freddie Highmore, the gentleman who portrays the good doctor on this show.
Yeah.
Because I think that was a huge step in autism awareness was that show, because it was a show that didn't sugarcoat autism. They made him out to be not an enemy, but just like someone below them for a long time because they didn't understand autism. Most shows sugarcoat and say, oh, there's nothing wrong with you. And the way he built himself forward is truly an inspiration. So again, that's patience. It's making sure, you know, that you're able to understand people.
Yeah, we're hearing, I don't know whether it's true, but we're hearing that this is the last season of The Good Doctor. But I'm also waiting to see, because we've heard that Kayla Cromer, who has been on our show before, is being brought into the cast as another doctor that's on the spectrum. And Kayla is an actress who identifies as being on the spectrum. So we're very excited to see her portrayal of this doctor next to Freddie. And, of course, they've had several actors on the spectrum on the show. Kobe Bird was on, Alex Plank, and several other actors. So I love that they're giving actors that are, quote-unquote, actually autistic an opportunity to play those roles on their show as well. I think that was an important step forward as well.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. It really is a step forward.
Well, I hope you get to interview Freddie Highmore.
Oh, that would be amazing. Not sure how that would happen, but you never know.
Oh, that could happen. That could absolutely happen. If you're willing to walk up to celebrities, then you can be willing to email them as well. So that could happen.
Right. That is true. Yeah. That is true.
It is absolutely true. Well, you guys are remarkable. I want to congratulate you on what you're doing. And thank you for taking the time to be with us and be on our show. And we're going to be staying tuned and seeing all the amazing things that you guys do.
Thank you very much for having us.
Yes.
Thank you. You guys have a great rest of your day and a great rest of your April. Take care.
Thank you. Bye, guys.
Truly amazing, gentlemen. We hope that you're enjoying the programming that we're bringing here during the month of April, and that you guys will tune in for all the wonderful guests that we've got. And we'll be back tomorrow with more of this kind of content. Until then, give your kiddos a hug from me and one for you, too. Bye-bye for now. If you found anything helpful in this video, please give us a like. In fact, make sure that you smash that subscribe button on YouTube and give us a like on Facebook. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Instagram for important updates. And please download our free podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Thank you so much. See you next time.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a Swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.